The point of the Haggadah is to experience some kind of liberation. And one of the questions that's at the bottom of this class and the study that I want to do with you tonight is, how can ritual create liberation? And of course the second one is, if this is how it does it actually work or not? Right? Because once we understand the structure of the Haggadah, that actually is a kind of liberation from the Haggadah itself, because then you can say, what else would achieve this structure? I love the traditional Haggadah, but I want to unlock it in the sense that it can be transformed. A lot of the rewritten Haggadahs that we see all over the place are done with an understanding of the obvious structure of the Haggadah, but not an understanding of the deeper structure. And so they miss something. So the deeper you study, the more free you should be. So obvious structure of the Haggadah. The four cups, right? And the Kadesh Rochatz Karpas Yachatz list. How many steps are there in that?
15.
Yeah. But sometimes people might count Motzi Matzah as one, right? And so then it might come out to be 14. So those are the steps of the Haggadah. And when people think Seder, which of course means order, they think the order means the four cups and the 14 or 15 steps. And that's why it's called Seder, because it has steps, and you know the order that they come in, which is arguably true, but arguably not enlightening to know. Okay, so, however, it is still good to know the basic building blocks in this way. So, four cups, really briefly. The first cup is Kiddush, and that happens at any holiday meal in the evening. So the only thing unique to Pesach is that you mention Pesach in the blessing. The second cup is, of course, the telling of the story. And one of the things we do in Judaism is we do things over a cup of wine and then we drink it. And it's as if the action has somehow infused the wine. And then when you drink it, it kind of internalizes and deepens the action, whatever that would be. So we do that with saying the blessing after meals. In traditional context, they do that in every Shabbat, but in very traditional context. More commonly, it only happens at a wedding meal or a bris meal or something like that, where people are careful to bless over a kos, a cup. But in this case, we tell the story over a cup. Then we drink the cup. Now the third cup is that traditional thing that we do at a wedding feast or a bris, which is to say the actual blessings for the meal over a cup and then drink the cup. So again, the cup that is just before the meal and the cup that's just after the meal. And the fourth cup is saying the words of Hallel, which is normally on every other holiday said during the mornings. And only on Passover is it kind of a requirement to say it at night as part of the Haggadah. It's the part of the Haggadah that usually gets skipped from people. But we have our other kinds of Hallel that we do instead, which are Chag Gadya and Hillel and all these other kinds of things, songs that we do. So those are the four cups. The third is the meals. You say Birkat HaMazon, the blessings after the meal, and then you finish that blessing, and then you say Birkat HaGafen and drink that cup, and that's the blessings of the meal that you said. Infused in the cup, you drink it, and that brings some kind of closure to those blessings. So it's really simple. Kiddush, storytelling, meal, challah. Those are the four cups. Now that actually might have some deeper significance, which I want to keep in mind. That is, maybe there's something paradigmatic about that pattern.
Paradigmatic
about the pattern, Kiddush, holiness, storytelling, mm-hmm. sharing food, mm-hmm. and sharing praise, celebrating.
I once paired those up with the four elements, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I had a four-element Seder. The first cup was fire, when we light the fire. The second cup was water, when we wash hands. The third cup was earth, when we eat. And the fourth cup was air, where we sing.
Nice.
But it didn't make the Seder any less complicated, I should say.
Yeah. So I'll just go over the steps really briefly, so we, again, have them all in mind. And if you think of this as the Seder and the structure, it is very confusing, because you know how they go, but you don't know why they go that way. There's nothing inside the steps that makes you understand why they go that way. So it's Kiddush, of course, Kadesh, washing, Orchatz, Karpas, dipping the celery or the parsley or the potato if you were in Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. where they didn't have celery or parsley at that time of the year. Yachatz, breaking the matzah. Magi, telling the story. Rachsa, washing your hands before eating bread. Motzi, saying Hamotzei Lecha Min Haaretz, the blessing over the meal, and then matzah, the blessing specific to the matzah as opposed to any bread. Then maror. Do I need to translate maror for anyone? Probably not, but bitter herbs, bitter food. Korach, sandwich, otherwise known as Hillel sandwich. Shulchan Orach means you eat a meal, you set the table, a set table. Safun means hidden thing, and that's the afikomen.
Safun means hidden?
Yeah.
Does it also mean
north? Safun. I guess it would be, would it not?
Winkler, Gershon Winkler, was one of those whole kind of cycles that we go through in life, and so he kind of orients them towards, you know, the four different directions, and Safun is like this, you know, darkness is this place of, you know, complete utter doubt.
That does work, yes. And north is darkness in a general seasonal way as well. So that works well. Good. Glad you guys noticed that. Barich, saying the blessing after the meal, which of course also includes the third cup. You say the blessings and then you drink the third cup. Hallel, the psalms that we say. And Nirtza is... It's not exactly a part of the Seder. That is, if you skipped it, you wouldn't have skipped anything in the Seder. But it's a little medieval poem saying, we finished the Seder, we finished the Seder. Yeah.
So. What's the etymology of
Nirtza? Nirtza, acceptance. Uh-huh. That is, the service is now accepted by God. We assume, this is an interesting trait in Judaism, we assume that if we did the ritual correctly, that it must be and will be accepted. You know, the prophets sometimes criticize that attitude quite a bit, right? But there's a general idea that the purpose of ritual is that when you get it right, it works. Mm-hmm. It's not dependent on whether you're smart enough or deep enough or, you know, joyful enough. And that's one way to interpret the idea of a Seder. If you do this, you will get out of Egypt.
It is complete.
Get out of jail free Seder.
Okay, those are the basic, general, overall, obvious pictures of the Haggadah.
That's the interesting Passover, like, not before it.
Now, if we can do the four elements to the four cups, I'm sure we can also do the four directions to the four cups. So there's lots of things we might do. Again, learning some of the deeper structures might enrich and deepen all those things that we might already do and be interested in doing. These are the obvious fours are the four questions, the four children, and the four cups. So obviously, there's a thing with fours going on. A slightly less obvious four.
But only three things.
We have quite a few more, actually. So a slightly less obvious four is that we start with three matzahs, but once we break the middle one, we now have four matzahs. That's a slightly hidden, not that hidden. And they all each represent something different. And remember, when you break the middle matzah, one half has to be bigger and one half has to be smaller. And the bigger half is always the afikomen. So what that means is a lot of what we're going to be talking about. And you might already have interesting things to share about as well. So other hidden fours. There are four times we explain the meaning of matzah differently each time. Explain is a little bit wishy-washy because the fourth time is actually not an explanation but the opposite of an explanation. There are four times that we use the verse Ba'avor ze asali hamonai betzeiti mimitzrayim, because of this which God did for me in leaving Egypt. So there's four times that we use that verse to explain something going on in the Haggadah. Ba'avor ze asa Adonai li betzeiti mimitzrayim. I have those two words in the wrong order. There are four times that we start telling the story of Passover. And perhaps we will discover a few others that I don't know about yet.
What were the last four you said?
There are four times that we start telling the story. We restart the story. Four times. Reboot it. I don't know why. Perhaps this will be the class where I finally figure it out.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Haggadahs that are new progressive Haggadahs will just kind of make that into a story that's understandable. But I guess the traditional Haggadah is actually starting the story and then starting it over from a different spot and then starting it over as opposed to a sequential, complete story.
Right, which is a totally different understanding of what we're doing. It's not about simple transmission of information. It's something different. So there's plenty to cover here, which means we'll do some of it in Chavruta learning and some of it we'll do as a group. So I think the first thing I would like to do, because I think it's possible to do using just the English, is to ask you to find the three times that we explain the matzah and the fourth time where we do something without explaining it.